because of the topic this morning, we won't have a whole lot of scripture. Because the topic this morning is something that the Bible doesn't talk about. So, we don't have a lot of scripture. We have a little bit, as much as we can find that even remotely dealt with the topic. But a lot of it is just going to be human tradition and explaining what these things are so that we understand even what these subjects are when they come up in conversation with people. But it's not on our list this morning. What are all these things on my calendar? We've all seen the calendar. You know, the Norman Rockwell calendar or whatever. And on the day, you've got New Year's Day. Well, we all know what that is. And then you have Valentine's Day. And we know what that one is. You know, all these things. And then you get down and there's some things in here like Ash Wednesday. Look at this. Home Sunday. What's that? What are these things? And, of course, some calendars have more of these kinds of things than others. But we're going to look at some of these things that are often referred to as holidays. We're going to talk about holidays and, in particular, certain holidays. In Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8 through verse 11, part of that which was read for our scripture reading this morning, Paul says to the Galatians, beginning in verse 8, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no God. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I'll tell the Galatians, you got so wrapped up in observing these holidays that I'm afraid you're getting carried away in this false religion. You used to worship things that weren't really God, and you didn't know any better, but now that you know God, you should go back into serving those false gods and that false religion. And of course, part of it too, in other places, they'll refer to some of the Jewish holidays, which of course were holidays God gave the Jewish people, but that Christ freed us from having to keep those feasts and fasts and all of the different things that they had to do in the Old Testament. Then I want to look and see that the Bible doesn't say anything about Lent, Ash Wednesday, Shrove Tide, Shrove Tuesday, Mardi Gras, Good Friday, Palm Sunday, or Maundy Thursday. Some of you say, I've never heard of some of those things. But you have heard of some of the others. They all go together. And we're going to discuss some of the ways that those things are offended. Notice I didn't read any of those. Boy, I feel so busy. How they're spelled, and you hear it, and how they're pronounced. So there's those that you weren't familiar with. But all these things have a common theme. And of course, another one that goes along with these is Easter. Easter is mentioned once in the Bible in Acts 11:14 as a result of an error in translation. The actual Greek word there is Pascha, which everywhere else in the King James Version of the Bible and in every other translation said was always translated Passover, because that's what it was, Passover feast of the Jews. But in that one way, either they just missed it when they were doing it, or they, for some reason, decided to leave that in there in that one way. But they translated Easter in that one way. But even knowing that, there is no indication that the Christians celebrated it as a religious holiday. No, it just mentions that the king had put somebody in prison until after Easter is basically what it says there in Acts 11. And so, no indication that it's a religious holiday for Christians to celebrate whatsoever. We have to understand that these holidays which we've talked about are man-made, not God-made. They're man-made holidays. As with the 4th of July, or New Year's, or the President's Birthday, President's Day, Memorial Day. We have all sorts of holidays. There's nothing wrong with taking a day off work to enjoy on those holidays, or to even to celebrate them. 4th of July, we celebrate our country's independence. Sure, there's nothing wrong with it. But when it becomes a religious thing, when it becomes some sort of religious ceremony, that somehow is supposed to bring us closer to God, that's not anything that the Bible ever teaches. In fact, we read Galatians 1 that Paul says, by the opposite, keeping those days as some sort of worship or some sort of service to God will only cause you to be drawn further away from God. He said he was afraid of you or for you. He was afraid because he thought that maybe he had wasted his time and all the teaching and preaching he'd done. That they weren't going to stick to the gospel, but they were going to get swept off into these things. Now let's look at some of these and see what we can learn about them. First of all, what is Mardi Gras or Carnival? Also called Carnival. I know what Carnival is. When you go and they've got a little big Ferris wheel and they've got the little games and stuff, well, that's a carnival too. But that's not the kind of carnival that we're talking about here. And we'll explain it in just a moment. Mardi Gras is French for, quite literally, Tuesday fast. It's French as in some other languages that puts the descriptive word after it. But we would call it Fat Tuesday. That's kind of an odd name for Tuesday, I guess. But we'll see then a little bit about it in a moment. Carnival, or Carne Vale, is Latin for flesh, farewell, or farewell flesh. And then we mentioned earlier Shrovetide. Shrovetide is a 3-day period ending on this Tuesday, which is also called Shrove Tuesday. It's a 3-day party time that ends on the Shrove or Fat Tuesday, and it refers to the time before Shrove. You know, we talk about eventide, and it's a particular time. Well, this is the time before the Shrove begins. Now, Shrove is kind of a weird word. It's not one we use in common everyday language very often. But Shrove quite literally means to impose penance. Or in other words, to force someone to do something to atone for their sins. That's what Shrove type. So there's this 3-day party time that they have before they have to feel sorry for all of the bad things that they did, and then they have to enact some act of sorrow, some act of penance. And those may be various things that, in many cases, the priests tell them what they have to do, and in other cases, they get to choose their own punishment, so to speak. This is basically the equivalent of somebody going on a crime spree, and then the judge tells them how much time they're going to have to spend in jail for. But that's kind of the idea, but in a religious sense, in a spiritual sense, is what they're trying to do with these things. And those numbers are to impose. They force somebody. You can't make somebody else pretend that they're sick. You can't make somebody feel sorry for their sins, but that's what they're trying to do in this particular season. But that is the Mardi Gras, or the Carnival, or Shrove Tuesday, also as it is called. Those all are that same 3-day period, usually beginning Saturday evening and lasting Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And it's just a big party. Of course, we probably all of us are somewhat familiar with the Mardi Gras in Mobile and in New Orleans. Something I had never heard of when I lived out in Colorado. Not a big thing out there, but you know, you get down there close to Mobile, close to New Orleans, and it's a big deal. Make a big thing. Now it seems odd, doesn't it, that this big wild party, you know what kind of things go on, the drunkenness, the carousing, the revelry, the sexual immorality that goes on at these things. And this is a religious holiday. It doesn't sound like something the Bible would condone for religious activity, does it? But it does sound a lot like some of the pagan things that were going on back then, doesn't it? The Christians were supposed to separate themselves from those things. But a lot of the religious world today has tried to take these holidays as an excuse to commit sin. They're trying to say, it's okay to be simple on this 3 days or this party time, because then you're going to repent. Then, at the end of it. And that brings us to our second one. What is Lent? Now, this is L-E-N-T, not like the word you might have developed up. That's actually Lent. It's L-E-N-T. Lent. Now, Lent is describing what it is. And it starts after Mardi Gras on a day called Ash Wednesday and lasts until the Thursday before Easter. Now Lent, like Mardi Gras and even Easter and all these others, is primarily or mainly a Catholic holiday. But it is practiced by some other churches. The Lutheran Church, Anglican Church, Greek Orthodox, and the Episcopalian churches, and of course Easter is celebrated by many religious groups. They really make a big thing out of Easter. But Lent and Mardi Gras, of course a lot of people take advantage of Mardi Gras to have a party, even if they're not even religious at all, they just want to throw a party. So they take advantage of that Catholic holiday. Lent is supposed to be in memory of the 40 days of fasting by Christ. It's in memory of Jesus' 40-day fast. That's what the first is. Oddly enough, it doesn't last 40 days. In the United States, basically, it lasts 46 days, and in the Eastern world, the Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church, they have what, 50 days, so I don't know why they didn't have it last 40 days. That's what it's supposed to represent. But they did. But that's what it's supposed to be in memory of. And because of that, of course, they do confess. Now, they don't fast the whole 40 days. There will be a couple of fasting days in that time period. And then, of course, they're supposed to have their prayers, say their prayers during that time. And then they're supposed to abstain from some indulgence of sinful or fleshly desire. And it may be anything from somebody saying they're going to give up smoking or drinking for that period of time, to somebody just saying, I'm not going to have any chocolate, or I'm not going to have any Coca-Cola for that period of time, or whatever it might be. A lot of times, to get around this, they do something that they really don't care about anyway. I might say, I'm not going to eat any broccoli for 40 days, for all of Lent. I'm not going to eat any broccoli. They give up something that they didn't want in the first place. A lot of times. But the idea is that they've been mad during Mardi Gras and Carnival time, and now they're going to regenerate that for the time of Lent, and they're going to punish themselves by forcing themselves not to have something that they want. That's the idea. Ash Wednesday, and you always see this one on the calendar. Almost every calendar will have Ash Wednesday on it. I found it on my calendars at home. Ash Wednesday, which was this past Wednesday for the Catholic world and for those other seasons, is the first day of Lent. The first day of Lent. And it refers to the practice of using ashes to show repentance. We read about that in the Bible. We read about people who sat in sackcloth and ashes and were showing their sorrow over a particular thing. So they've taken that in and they've called this day Ash Wednesday, the day where they're supposed to start their fasting. And Ash Wednesday is one of those days where they actually do, are supposed to fast. Now also during this time of Lent, on Friday, no meat, no egg, no poultry, only fish. And that's when we get the phrase of the fish on Friday. But they used to have that all the time, but now it's only during Lent. But they say on during that, basically whole six-week period, they can't have anything but fish on Friday. No meat of any kind. And then we see Monday. That's not Monday. Not like the day of the week, but it's Monday. Monday or Holy Thursday is the last day of Lent. And this day is celebrated in remembrance of the Last Supper and of Jesus washed the disciples of the sea. And if you watch carefully, this will be the Thursday before Easter. So it'll be about at the beginning of April this year. Because well, Easter moves from year to year. Sometimes it's in March, sometimes it's in April. It moves around. And we'll explain why on that when we get to talk about Easter. But you may see even the Catholic Pope and some of the other religious leaders in the Catholic Church are, you may see on the news or something about them having their foot washed today. And it's a ceremonial day. They don't really need to wash their feet probably. They probably take a bath or shower earlier, but they have a ceremony of in remembrance of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Now, of course, we know that, of course, the Last Supper and Jesus washing about the genius system of things like its fastness. So these things are loosely based on biblical principles. But we're going to see, of course, we've seen already some of the problems with some of these things. But we'll see more as we go on.
Okay, third, we want to see this. Well, what about Easter? Easter is the most widespread. Every denomination is about celebrating Easter. We can get a lot of Easter. And we have studied Easter in depth. We're not going to spend an enormous amount of time on it, but we just want to mention a few things about it. Easter always falls on a Sunday because it is Easter is celebrated to commemorate the Lord's resurrection. And of course, he rose on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. We do know that. And that's why it always falls on a Sunday. Easter Sunday is a gospel. And it has a week of holidays known as Passion Week leading up to it. That last week of Jesus' life is often referred to as Passion Week. That's why we got to class recording about the movie that's out called The Passion of Christ. It mostly just deals with the last week of his life, the end of his life, there before his crucifixion. And that is that last week is referred to as Passion Week. Now, Palm Sunday, or Passion Sunday, is in memory of Jesus entering Jerusalem for the final time, and that's recorded in John 12. But in John 12, it talks about the disciples laying down the palm leaves for Jesus. Donkey is right to walk across. And that's where they get the name Palm Sunday. And they never call that in the Bible, but because of the fact that Jesus' followers did that, they call it Palm Sunday. Good Friday, that same week. We talked about Monday, Thursday already. Good Friday is also that week, and it is to mark the day of his crucifixion. Not one gospel records this day or refers to Good Friday. Not a single one of them. In fact, not one gospel even records that Jesus' death was on a Friday. Commonly held that it was on Friday. There are even popular books, one by a false teacher from Harvard called 6 Hours on Friday. Now, I have another lesson if you're interested on the fact that actually Jesus' crucifixion was on Thursday. And if you want a copy of that lesson, I have that in the tape, the copy that we have from another year called Jesus, Our Passover Plan. So, we see this, that they made this whole ceremony about the death of Christ, and they get a yearly thing in the big Easter. All about Easter. Jesus never told us to celebrate Easter. He never said anything about Easter. Ever even taught us, remember he taught us how to celebrate the Passover. That was a Jewish holiday. Easter is based on when the Passover was. And because of that, we can be fairly confident in our determination of when Jesus' death was and when his resurrection was. We know it was on the first day of the week following the Passover of the Jews. But to celebrate that every year is not what the Bible teaches us to do. Let's look at it now, so we'll get our conclusion, some of the flaws or the problems with these holidays. First of all, the Mardi Gras is kind of a, we're saying farewell to the flesh. We should have said farewell to our flesh when we were converted. That was the whole point of being converted, repenting of our sins, and being baptized to wash those sins away. We're not supposed to go back for 3 days every year and relive those sinful things that we used to do. That's all. We should have taken mind of that a long time ago. And yet, by this, they continually bring these sins back into the present. And, of course, the Bible also teaches, what shall we sin the more that grace may abound? God forbid. We're not supposed to take advantage of the grace of God by having these opportunities for sinfulness. And to think that a church would sanction and even propose a holiday that involves all of these sinful behaviors is unbelievable. And you can imagine why the Bible church did that. Now we know that they do. That's amazing. We are supposed to be teaching people to turn away from the fleshly desires, to seek the spiritual, and to live by faith. But instead,
to those 3 days a year when they get to let it all hang out. That's not the proper attitude. We're supposed to be self-controlled. And then we see, concerning Clint, there's nothing wrong with prayer, fasting, or abstinence. There's nothing wrong with those things. Hopefully all of us pray. Hopefully all of us at that time, even fast, and presumably able to do so. Jesus said his disciples would fast. Hopefully we can practice that. And abstinence, to abstain from something that we want. We know people are doing it. We know some are sitting there, they're going to give up something so that they can help put money towards the fellowship hall. They're abstaining from those things. You put that money towards the fellowship. That's fine. If you do those things. Prayer, of course, is to be made without ceasing. By the way, it's not something we do just for 6 weeks out of the year. He's doing that all the time. Let's have a special season for prayer. And as regarding fasting and abstinence, even though these are good things, certainly for us to do those things, it's not something that we are to buy on others. I can't tell you, you've got to fast on such and such a day, or you're not a good Christian. I can't believe that. I have the authority to say this to my friend. If you want the fast, it's for you. Do it. Make the most of it. If you want to choose to give up something, good, give it up. Now, if it's something simple, don't just give it up for 6 weeks and then pick it back up again. Give it up and be rid of it. That's the way we're supposed to do with simple things. We don't just say, well, I'm a drunk. I'm going to quit being a drunk for 6 weeks and then I'll start back after that. That's not true repentance. True repentance is, I'm going to turn away from this thing, and I'm never going back. That's what repentance is. Turn around, turn away from it. Then what about Easter? Well, we celebrate the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection every first day of the week. Every first day of the week. We do that with the Lord's Supper. Just like we've been commanded in Matthew 26 through 29 and Acts 20 and verse 7. Jesus. We're going to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We're going to take it on Easter and Christmas for some special time. Every Sunday, we remember that Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And that day is the most special of any of the days of the year, I guess you'd say. Every Sunday is just as special. There's nothing more special about Easter Sunday than there is about every other Sunday. Nothing in the Bible teaches us to make a big deal out of that particular Sunday. And then, of course, we should not allow others to judge us based on the meaning of holiday or holy day. That's where the word holiday comes from, holy day. We shouldn't allow other people to judge us based on that. We shouldn't allow people to judge us based on the Jewish holiday. Colossians 2:16-17. Says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of his holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So Paul said to the Colossians, don't let people be judging you about these Jewish holidays. They're just a shadow. The truth has come in Jesus Christ. We don't have to keep all of those Sabbath days and all of those new moons. I don't let anybody judge you in those things, or in meat. We don't have to eat. Fish on Christ. We eat whatever we want. God's made all foods clean. And so we don't have to let people judge us on those things. Well, we shouldn't allow people to judge us based on worldly holidays either. By worldly holidays, we refer to anything from the 4th of July to the President's Day or any of those types of days. Now, some people may not feel like celebrating the 4th of July or whatever they have to have. But I'm going to judge them on that. We don't allow other people to judge us based on whether we celebrate a particular day. Colossians 2:20-23 says, wherefore if ye be dead in Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which means have indeed a show. Notice that, a show of wisdom. Didn't say they had any wisdom to them. Just a show of wisdom. In will worship. It's not true worship, it's will worship. And humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfied of the flesh. Well, that sounds a
You've been caught up in
following those things and worshiping those things which by nature are not God. Maybe he's just worshiping and serving other things. Maybe he's turned from that to the true and living God, turned to Christ. He's freed us from all those things. And he can free you too. If you're here and you're a Christian, but perhaps you've engaged in some sinful activity and you haven't repented of it, repent of that. He's turned from it, not just for a season, but permanently. Get away from it. Put it out of your life for good. You're here and you have such a responsive invitation. We ask you to do so instead.